And something I mentioned earlier is we should all stop wasting time. Amen, Pastor. Praise God. Glory to God. No, we all should stop wasting time doing things that are like so unnecessary. I was talking to, I was talking to people all the time. But we all know people that play video games for like 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day. We all know people that do that. That is a tremendous waste of time. It is. No insult to you video game players. But there's just so many things we do that are good. Do the good things, and so many things we do that are really like a waste of time. You don't get that time back. Really focus in on things that are important. And I got to tell you, knowing the Bible, that is important. It's going to change your life forever. Psalm 84. We are doing this series, I'm finishing it up today, on distractions. A lot of things distract us from the important things and make us waste time. And if you're not careful, these distractions keep you and I weak and frail when God wants us to be strong. These distractions get us off course and make us not fruitful. That's something we looked at last week, and I'll touch on it again this morning. But what is a distraction? I looked up the definition. Distractions are something that prevents us from giving something else our full attention. That's a bad thing. Especially if you're driving a car, you don't want to be distracted. What's distraction? Something that, this is a definition, extreme agitation of mind or emotions, and another definition of distractions are a diversion, some kind of diversion. Should be looking over here, you should be doing this, and instead you're looking over there doing that. And it's never a good thing. Did you all find Psalm 84 good? Look at verse 5 with me. Look at verse 5. Psalm 84, verse 5. It says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee." Isn't that so true? Blessed is the person whose strength comes from God. Your strength, my strength, it comes from God. And as you read the word, you get stronger. As you know the word, you get stronger. Verse 5, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are in the ways of them," or in the ways of God. That person is blessed. He's not distracted. She's not distracted. She's doing the word of God. Pastor Ram said, verse 6, "Who passing through the valley of Baca," the word Baca means weeping, "who passed through the valley of Baca makes it a well." Instead of it being a dry, dusty place, what does he do? He helps you get through that time of weeping, and he fills you with all good things. Amen. Verse 7 goes on to say, "They go from strength to strength." Who? Every one of them in Zion that appears before God. On this first Sunday, we're appearing before God, and he's going to give us strength. He's going to give us help. Amen. Just keep reading. We're going to read down to verse 11. "Oh, Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." And verse 11 is, you know, one of my favorite verses. "The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will we withhold from them who walk uprightly." Amen. Right now, you're as clean as you can be. You've been forgiven. You just had communion. You're clean. Guess what? God wants to be your sun and your shield. He wants to be your protector. He wants to give you grace and glory, which is gifts and good things. And he wants to what? Fill your life with all good things. Why? Because that's what God wants to do. He doesn't want to punish you. He doesn't want to hurt you. I've been reading through Revelation, slowly reading through Revelation, the wrath of God. I read about it. But that's the wrath of God's not falling on us. The wrath of God's going to fall on wicked people that hate God, not on people that are searching, not on people that are hungry to know God like us. Amen. So what? So verse 11, "No good thing is going to withhold from you." Before we pray again, everybody tell somebody, "No good thing does he withhold from you." Tell somebody, "No good thing is he going to withhold from you." When? Today, right now, today. Let's pray again. Let's all pray again. Lord, help us not to be distracted. Lord, help us to focus in on your promises, because all your promises are yes and amen. Lord, help us to get wisdom, to get understanding. Lord, help us to stop wasting time. And instead, Lord, help us to do what the word says so that our life is blessed, our deeds are blessed. And Lord, help us to understand, verse 11, that you are our sun and our shield, and you're the giver of grace and glory. And the truth is that no good thing will you withhold from us, Lord. Bless us today. Holy Spirit, do great things this Sunday and continue this week. And we give you thanks and praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look, the devil has a job. The devil's job is to steal the word that I give you, or that even that God gives you. When you look at verse 11 one more time, it says, the Lord is our sun and a shield, right? You read it. The Lord will give grace and glory. Grace and glory in abundance. He's talking about an abundance. Grace and glory, and no good thing will withhold from those who walk uprightly. Not the ungodly, but the ones who are walking uprightly. Now the devil will try to whisper in your ear sometime in the future. Now what? Don't believe all of that. Because that's his job. That's his job, to distract, discourage, get people off track, to make them doubt the promises of God. My job is to remind you what they are, and the fact is that they belong to you. Because when you read it, you read in the Bible, it's yours. That promise is from God. Amen. Last week we looked in Mark chapter 4, the sower parable. Don't have to turn to it. I just want to go over it real quick. The four types of ground are really the four types of people that are in the world. You got the real hard heads who never want to receive the word of God. Well, that's not us. That's not us, right? The devil, the seed is planted. The seed is the word. The seed just sits right on the dirt, and the birds come immediately. The devil comes immediately to steal it. Some people are stony ground, and what those people are, they're shallow. They're weak and shallow. Unfortunately, some Christians are rocky, stony ground. Their garden is full of rocks, and they don't have any fruit growing there. It's sad. It's sad. You don't have to be shallow. You don't have to be weak. You don't have to be frail. You don't have to be. The weedy ground or the thorny ground are people that are what we're talking about today, that are distracted very easily. They're very easily distracted. They are always looking after what? Looking for money, always looking, scrounging around, never giving, always scrounging around. And what? And lust dominates their life. There's Christians like that. You could be a Christian here today with me today and be stony ground or weedy ground. Listen, get rid of the weeds, get rid of the rocks. And if you're hard, let them get the shovel out and turn the dirt over and become good ground, because only the good ground are 30, 60, and 100-fold. People. In other words, they're blessed in 30, 60, and 100-fold more than ever before. I would never backslide. Thank God I never backslide. Why? Because there's no place to slide to. There's nothing good to slide away from. I found him. He found me. I'm saved. I'm going to keep following him. And since I did, my life has been fruitful. My family, I'm blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed people. I want you to be blessed too. But sometimes we are stubborn. Sometimes we are prideful. And we don't understand that those two things choke the word of God, and there's no fruit in our life. Other people are so blessed, and it seems like we're never blessed. Get the rocks out of your garden. Amen. I'm saying it's the nicest way, because I'm on your side. I'm 100% for you, never against you. I'm your cheerleader. I'm cheering you up, rooting you on. You can do it with God's help. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But if you're going to be full of pride and stubborn, God bless you. If you're going to be full of pride and stubbornness, Pastor, God gave me the okay to smoke cigarettes. Come on. See, that's a weed in your garden. No, it's a weed in my pocket. No, it's a weed in your garden. Get rid of that stuff. Take care of this thing. You'll be happy you did. What thing? Your body. Why? Because it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Some people are manipulated by lust. You look at some things you should never be looking at. And what? It's making you not fruitful where God is trying to make your life fruitful. The devil always has a counterfeit of something that sort of looks okay, but it's really not. What God wants to give you is real, is a real blessing, not a fake blessing. Amen. God wants to bless you coming in the city, in the field. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Don't let the weeds choke the word of God. I mean, it says in the parable that Jesus explains, the word of God is choked, and there's what? No fruit. This is the word of God not working in their lives, all because of, well, for one reason is this things distract them. They're distracted easily. They get their eyes on other things. And they don't read your, they don't read their Bible. It's, this is the Bible. It's not a punishment to read the Bible. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to open the Bible up and read it and realize that these promises are for you. I'll bless you in the city. I'll bless you in the field. I'll make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I'll give you wisdom if you ask for it. I'm your healer. I'm your deliverer. That's when you read the Bible, you start realizing like, hey, this is good. This is all good stuff. It's not scary. God's not mad at me. He's not. We're looking at verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll look at verse 6 first. God bless you. Look at verse 5. Healed people in this room. Verse 5. We're in 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll start with verse 5. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourself to the elders, the older people. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. And here it is, most importantly, be clothed with humility, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to who? Humble people. The word grace means gifts. He gives grace to humble people. Not people that think they know it all or resist what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. Verse 6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he'll exalt you in due time. And we started this whole series a couple weeks ago with verse 7. It says, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. And that fourth word, that fourth word in verse 7, the word care, is the Greek word for distractions. Cast all your, that doesn't even make sense. Oh, yes, it makes perfect sense. Cast all your distractions on him because he cares for you. Whatever's trying to distract you, get you off track, give that distraction to God, because he will take that distraction and get your eyes focused on something that you really should be looking at and looking to. Amen. One more time, verse 7, it says, casting all your distractions upon him because he cares for you. Who is the one who distracts us? Oh, it's the devil. Who's trying to distract us, make us not fruitful? It's the thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said in that same verse, but I came to give you an abundant life. Who's the blessed people? You people are the blessed people, because you're hearing the word, receiving the word, and doing the word. Verse 8 goes on to say, be sober, be vigilant. Distracted people are usually not that sober, and they're not vigilant at all. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walks around seeking whom he can devour. But verse 9 goes on to say, but you and I, we resist him in faith. And what happens when you resist him in faith? The lion that's just all noise walks away from you. Amen. The greater one lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You can cast out devils. You can pray for sick people. You can tread on serpents and scorpions and have power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means will harm you. Who said that? Jesus said that. I'd rather you believe that than let somebody tell you, oh, I heard some archaeologists found the bones of Jesus yesterday. If you ever hear somebody say that, just look them right in the face and say, whoever told you that told you a lie, because there's no bones of Jesus. There's no bones of Jesus in the grave, I should say. There's bones in his body, but where is he? He's up in heaven sitting at the right hand of the Father. I remember somebody years ago said to me, oh, they found the bones of Jesus. I got mad. This Jewish guy tells me. He goes, oh, you know, they've marked. I said, let me tell you something. That wasn't Jesus. He sits at the right hand of Father. He changed my life, and I know he's alive. And the guy just looked at me like, oh, I guess I ain't telling this guy again about this. But don't tell me he's not real. He changed my life. He's real. He's absolutely real. So you don't like Jewish people. I love everybody. Love everybody. I'm just telling you, wonderful guy. His dad was a rabbi, great guy. But don't tell me you found the bones of Jesus someplace. But you will hear weird stuff. You'll hear stuff. But you know what? When you know the truth, you can just cast down that imagination. Why? You're not going to be distracted by some foolish lie. Amen. Go back over to verse 7 with me. This is the Amplified Bible. It says, cast the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, because he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Devil will say, that's not true. But I'm telling you, it's all true. Devil will say, God doesn't care about you. He don't care about you. He never helps you. He never answers your prayers. That's what the devil will whisper in your hour. You really shout in your ears. What are you supposed to do with that bit of information? Tell him, you're a liar. Get away from me. I'm submitted to God. I resist you. Flee from me now in Jesus' name. And he'll leave. He'll come back again, but he'll leave. Amen. Listen, he can't hurt you when you're standing with Jesus. Come on. He can't harm you. He can't touch you. He has no right to touch you. This is the Amplified Bible, verse 7. Cast the whole of your care, all your anxieties, your worries, your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. He cares about you. He cares. I wrote my notes, read it three times. I read it twice. That's enough. Amen. He cares about you affectionately, and he cares about you watchfully. Well, how come things aren't happening? I don't know. Maybe you're hard ground. Maybe you're weedy ground. Maybe you're stony ground. Get rid of the weeds, the rocks, the stones. Get rid of all these things. And what? And become 30, 60, and 100 fold. So, hey, it's up to me? Well, you know, like anything else, sometimes things are up to us. I could set food before you, and you could be real hungry, but if you don't pick your hands up and you know, shovel it in your mouth, you're probably not going to, you know, get fed. Well, when I come to your house, I expect you to feed me. Well, you're probably not coming to my house then, because it doesn't work that way. You got to feed yourself. I'm here to read it to you. I'm like feeding it to you. But you know what? Sometimes you got to feed yourself. Look at 2 Peter, the next page, 2 Peter chapter 1. What's God's will for you? What's God's will for you? To know his love, to know him, to know Jesus better. Verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Only one way. How does it get multiplied in your life? And the rest of verse 2 says, through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. How do you get more grace and more peace? It's only by what? Studying the Word of God, through knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Again, how? Through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. God called you to glory, good things, and virtue, which is excellence. He called you to be the head, not the tail. But Pastor, I didn't do good in school. It doesn't matter. I was voted most likely not to succeed. Well, now you're following Jesus, you will be successful. It doesn't matter what your past was like. It's what are you doing now? And what are you doing with the Word of God? Are you reading it? Are you receiving it? Are you applying it to your life? Are you letting all the distractions that are in the world, and there are plenty, get you off track? So temptation is a distraction? Yeah. Sin, it's a distraction. Worry, fear, doubts, any of these things, they're terrible distractions. But what does God give us? Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be a partaker of the divine nature, a receiver of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then it gives us more of a job to do. Verse 5, besides this, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and a godliness, brotherly kindness, which is love, right? And brotherly kindness, let's see more of this in our life too. Let's see the love of God. For if these things be in you and abound and are growing in you, then you won't be barren or unfruitful in what? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When you know the truth sets you free. We don't follow, verse 16 says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We don't follow fairy tales. We're not following make-believe stories. We're following Jesus and the truth he brings into our life. Verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They said what? We told you about him. We told you. You know what it says in verse 13? I know I'm sort of jumping around. In verse 13, Peter writes, he goes, yea, I think it necessary, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I'm here to stir you up too. Amen. Why? Why? God has so much more he wants to fill your life with. And unfortunately, we're talking about distractions today. Unfortunately, distractions are things that keep people from God's very, very best. Keep people from the promises of God. And then they sit back and say, nothing happens in our life. God doesn't answer our prayers. Whoa, back up a little bit. He wants you to do your part. He wants you to be good ground. He wants you to have faith and patience, because with faith and patience, you inherit the promises of God. Amen. He wants you to overcome temptations. And any kind of trial that might be in your face, it has one design. It's designed to steal your faith, to distract you, get you off course, steal your faith, steal your hope, so that you become just another hopeless person, and then what? And you fall and fail, and then you get mad. God is trying to prevent all of that so that your life is enriched by him. My life has been enriched by him. The blessing of the Lord, it makes you rich. He has no sorrow to it. God wants to bless you. Right? He became poor that through his poverty, we all might be made rich. Well, where does it say that? 2 Corinthians 9:8. Talks about him becoming poor so that we could be blessed. Now, why would you sit back and say, well, my old church, my pastor said, God wants you to be poor. Well, evidently, he didn't read those verses. Proverbs 10:22, right? He wants to bless you. He wants to fill your life with good things. He doesn't add sorrow to your life. What does add sorrow to your life? Sometimes bad choices, bad decisions, and people get stuck, and it's sad. But thank God, he's our deliverer. Amen? Jesus told parables, good parables. Parables are stories that have, you know, spiritual significance. And he talked about this one parable where a man planted a seed, and it was wheat. And who came? His enemy came and planted next to the seeds, the wheat seeds, these tares, which are poisonous plants, which look like wheat when they start growing, but you can't eat them, you'll die. So the parable is what? About a good man that planted good seed, and the devil came and planted bad seed to kill people. But what did Jesus say? He said, look, send the reapers in, pull up all the weeds first, then make a harvest. Amen. There might be weeds in your life, everybody. Tell somebody your halo's crooked. Tell somebody next to your halos. Pastor, your halo's a little crooked. Don't be saying that to me. But no, listen. No, look. No, the truth is, look, we all have room for improvement. Me, you, let's be honest. Come on, we do. But, you know, it's so foolish for you to say, oh, I don't care what you say, Pastor. I don't care. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what you say. I don't care. Those are poisonous weeds in your life. You need to uproot these things. Why? So you get to harvest. Right? Because immediately when the man in the parable saw that the weeds were growing with the wheat, he said to the man who owned the field, should we rip everything out? And the man said, no, everything grow together and then pull the weeds out first and then gather in the harvest. When you get rid of the weeds in your life, listen, I love you, you know that. When you get rid of the weeds in your life, that's when you see the harvest. It's simple. Don't get mad at me. I love you. It's, you know what, it's okay if you get mad at me. But as long as you get mad at me and change, it's good, okay? So listen, don't let the enemy win. Don't let him win. Don't let the liar win, because he is a liar. Your family's never going to get saved. That's not true. Your kids are never going to receive Jesus. Don't believe that. Believe what the Word says, that if you believe, you and your household will be saved. And I believe that as you become more and more fruitful, your family starts looking and saying, you know what? They're always happy. They're always blessed. Everything is working out right for them. There must be something to this Jesus stuff that they're involved in. You know, if that's an outsider, we know. Look at 2 Timothy. Yes, 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's choke. What's choking the Word in your life? Whatever is choking the Word in your life, Let's get rid of it. What's choking the Word of God? I mean, can you imagine that? The Word of God, God spoke it into existence. The earth came to life. God spoke. It was finished. And he gave us the same word to speak. The word that's the sword of the Spirit, the truth, amen, right? He gave us that same word, but yet for some people, it makes no sense at all. But for us, it makes perfect sense. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the third verse, says, thou therefore endure hardness like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's a reason we're reading this, verse 4. For no man at wars, nobody goes to war, entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. You're on the battlefield, stick to the battle plan. Are you on a battlefield? Stick to the battle plan. And what's that? Keep his word. Do what the word says. Verse 5. If any man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Do what the word says. I want to prosper, Pastor. I want to be healthy. I want to get blessed. Well, then do what the word says. All right, go out, get a job, turn the TV off. Do something, right, to help you. If you need a financial help, then, you know, do something to help yourself. Don't sit around saying, well, I'm praying. Because the Holy Spirit would say, okay, good, I'm going to open doors for you, now go. Amen. See, right there, some of you are like, no, I don't think that. I think that's the devil telling me to get a job. No, it would be God. Why? Because he wants to bless the works of your hands. All right, again, what are you tangled up in? Here, Paul used the analogy of a soldier going out to war. In those days, the officer picked people to be in the army, and they were happy to go. Why? There was fame and fortune in it for them. They didn't pick the scraggly guy. They picked the strongest guy they can find, young, strong, healthy. I'm taking this guy. And it was like an honor because you didn't have to go. And you went. And when you were there, what did you do? You were involved in warfare, and that was your job because you wanted to survive and you wanted to come home eventually, come home rich from the spoils of war. But again, what do we have in going on in our lives today? There might be some distractions that are making us weaker and getting us off track. So I shouldn't have any hobbies. No, have good hobbies. Have godly, have good, healthy hobbies. But don't be wrapped up in things that are destroying your life any longer. Why? Because there's no harvest in that, and there's no victory in that, and God's not involved in that. Amen. God's not involved. So if he's not involved, we shouldn't be involved. Right, everybody? Look at Proverbs 18. Are you growing? Are you becoming more like Jesus? Or are you getting weaker? Pastor, you get older, you get meaner. No, you're probably mean young. Now you're just old mean. But anyway, Proverbs 18. That went over big. Proverbs 18. Don't be making excuses for yourself. You got the love of God in you. Let the love of God come out of you. Proverbs 18. Are you getting stronger? Are you getting weaker? You got to answer that question. You have to answer it. Why? God still called you. He still called you into the ministry. He still got plans for you. Amen. But I'm old now. Well, Moses started his ministry when he was 80. Moses was 80 years old when he started his ministry. Joshua led the people into the promised land. He was like 100 years old. He was like, yeah, let's go. Why? Because he was going to lead them in. He was going to bring them into the promised land. He was an old man, him and Caleb. They were the oldest men in all of Israel. And Caleb said, give me the giants. I'll take the mountain with the giants on it. No problem. They were old. Yeah, they weren't 100. They were like in their 60s. But how many know 60 is not old? Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. How old are you, Pastor? I'm 66. Proverbs 18. 66. Yeah. Proverbs 18. You look younger now. You look like you're like 65 and a half. Thanks. Thank you. Proverbs 18, verse 6. Proverbs 18. Get what the word, say what, you know, do what the word says. You know, I found out, and it's true, that some people are just talkers and some people are doers. Do you ever notice that? Some people talk about doing things and other people just do things. They do things. They get things done. They do things. They, you know, they have to do something. They get it done. Other people talk about it. They talk about it. Hey, you know what I did the other day? Threw the garbage out. Woo, took me all day. Really? To throw the garbage out? That little bag? Yeah, well, I did something. Oh, okay, good. But, you know, other people that used to do stuff, they do a lot more than that in a day. But Proverbs 18, look at verse 1. It says, through desire, a man separates himself. He seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. If you have a different translation, it probably says something different than that. Different. And I got to tell you, for a long time, I thought verse 1 was a positive statement. Through desire, a man separates himself and he looks for wisdom. That's really not what the Hebrew of those, that verse 1 is really saying. I have a center column Bible, and in the center column, it translates verse 1 this way. It says, a man who isolates himself seeks only desire, his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Well, how come it doesn't say that? I don't know. I didn't write the Bible, but I have a good study Bible. Verse 1 should be translated this way. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Is that person going to be successful? You're fighting against all wise judgment? You think you're going to be successful? You're fighting against the wisdom of God and right choices? What would he do with people like that? You let them fall. If they're adults, if they're your kids, you pick them up, you try to teach them. If they're adults and they don't want to listen to you, just prepare them. Prepare them for the fall. And when they fall down, don't bail them out right away. Let them lay there a little while. You want them to suffer? Yeah. Why? So that they learn. Amen. Don't blame yourself. I was a bad parent. No, you weren't. You're a good parent. But when people isolate themselves and refuse to do what the Word says, and when they fail, you know, we're there to pick them up, but we don't want to let them go back and enable them to keep going in that direction. Something has to change. Amen. Something has to change. Hopefully they'll learn from the experience and really get wise. Again, through evil desire, a person isolates themselves and does their own thing. Okay, well, go ahead, do your own thing. But when it doesn't work out, I'm here. I'll visit you. I'll be here to pick you up. Look at verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention. What does that mean? A foolish person, they're always talking. They're always going to get in trouble. A fool's lips enter. What's this got to do with distractions? Oh, it has a lot to do with distractions. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for a beating. He's just setting himself up for a beating. You know, I found, some of you are not going to like this, but it's okay. We're supposed to discipline our kids, and sometimes you got to give them a tappity-tap. Amen, Pastor. I know, you didn't want to say it. But when you don't do that, you know, I found in the world later on, somebody gives them a tappity-tap. Where were you 35 years ago with that bit of information? I was in here. Anyway, go back to verse 6. A fool's mouth, right, a fool's lips enter, and it gets him in trouble. That's what verse 6 is saying. And his mouth is begging for strokes. Verse 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction. His lips are a snare to his soul. They're words. Words are not healthy. They are sometimes they are a distraction, and they get people going the wrong direction. And again, you got kids in your house. Pray for them, your family, your big children, little children, whatever. Pray for them. Give them wisdom. Give them insight. But let them know there's a consequence for everything you say. My dad passed away many years ago, but when I was a teenager, my father said, "Oh yeah, by the way, if you go to jail, I'm leaving you there." That's what he said to you. That's exactly what he said to me. You get in trouble, you're going to stay there. Did it help you? No, it did. It did help me a lot. Go back to reading the Bible, Mr. Preacher Man. Okay, verse 9. He also that is slothful is, right? Verse 9. He also that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster or a great destroyer. Some people are distracted by so many things. All they are is lazy. They're just lazy now. Now, they're what? They isolate themselves. Now they become lazy. And what are they called here in verse 9? They're called a brother of a person who is equal to someone who is a great waster or a great destroyer. And they are. But look at verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to, and they will be safe. Amen. Be safe. Encourage your family, right? Be a blessing to your family. And know that God's going to take care of you. But again, if it's something in your life that's a distraction or something that's a distraction in their life, you really should help them get out of the pit because they truly are in a pit. Like I said before about pride, verse 12. Look at verse 12. Pride. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Before honor, there's humility. It's true. If you stay humble, God can work with you. If you're prideful, it's a distraction. If you're prideful, what happens? It says in verse 12, my Bible says, destruction. It's a destructive force. Distractions, things that distract you from good things, they're a destructive force that sets you up for a failure. And I want you to have a harvest. I don't want to see you fail. I'm trying to help you. So you're perfect in every way? No. But I'll tell you what, if you're a doer of the word, you're blessed. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Distractions also discourage people. They do. But when you get your eyes back on Jesus, what about Peter, right? Walking on the water. Jesus walked out on the water, showing everybody he was God. He is God, right? When they all saw it, they all started screaming. And they were like, screaming, a ghost. I don't even know why they said that, because there are no ghosts. There's the Holy Ghost. But there's no, your great-great-grandma's not haunting your house, right? That's not true. That's a distraction from the truth. But they screamed. They screamed out, afraid. But what Jesus said, don't be afraid, it's me. And then Peter said, Lord, if it's you, let me come out of the boat. Let me walk on the water. And Jesus said, well, it's me. Come. Why are you reading this? Why are you saying this, Pastor? Because we know the story. When his eyes were on Jesus, he could do it. When his eyes got off Jesus, he sank. Right? When his eyes were on Jesus, he walked on the water. But the Bible says he started looking around at the waves and the wind. and he started to sink. He was distracted and he sank. Amen. Like I said before about the parable of the tares, the poisonous weeds, when you get rid of the poisonous weeds, then you get your harvest. Amen. When you get rid of the poisonous weeds, then you see the victory that only can come from Jesus. Amen. And I want you to have victory. I want you to have victory because there's victory in Jesus. There is 100% victory. We need to go with me to 1 Corinthians 15, please, everybody. We need to wake up. I was born on the wrong side of the tracks, Pastor. You better stop saying that. There's no wrong side of the tracks. Come on. I didn't get a good education. Well, now you got the Holy Spirit inside of you, and he's the best teacher. So he's going to help you be successful. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I have a learning disability. What would his help? You'll have an ability to learn like you never learned before. Amen. What do you know about God? What do you know about Jesus? Well, all I know is he died for my sins. Well, that's good. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." That's good. You know that he died for you. That's great. Verse 4, "And was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And he was seen of Peter and then of the 12. Then after that, he was seen of 500 brethren at one time, who of whom greater part remains unto this present time. But some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James and all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me." Why are you reading that? Because there's going to be people in your life that are going to say it never happened. Jesus never died on a cross. We were talking about Mary Magdalene Wednesday, and I made this point that every once in a while I hear somebody say that Jesus married Mary Magdalene and moved to France and had children. When you hear something so stupid like that, you have to tell people that's just not true. Are you sure, Pastor? If I could say stupid louder, I would. But we have next service, and I still have to talk for the next service. But, I mean, you hear people say the dumbest things. And other people are like, "Yeah, I heard that saying. Yeah, they married Magdalene. They got married." That's not true. That's not true. He couldn't have survived the crucifixion. They pierced through his skin, through his heart. They peered the blood and the water separated. He was dead. Jesus died on the cross. But on the third day, he was raised by the Holy Spirit, by the power of God. Amen. And his blood, his sacrifice changed us forever. Please understand that. And why are you reading all this? Because, again, sometimes you're going to hear people say some dumb things. And you know the truth. You can boldly say, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. Oh, yeah, God made me sick. You stand up and say, God didn't make you sick. Why would he make you sick? Well, he's all powerful and all seeing and all knowing. Obviously, he made me sick for a reason. No, it was probably you made you sick, but God didn't make you sick. Why would he want to make you sick? Why would he want to punish you? Yeah, people think that and hear it. And believe me, there are preachers that preach that. But it's so not Bible. It's not the Bible. Jesus went around doing good. That's what the Bible says. Acts 10:38. Jesus went around doing good, not hurting people. People hurt themselves, and then they get mad at God. But that's why we're here as lights, as ambassadors for Christ, to share with them that, hey, look, you set yourself up for this. I'm here to help you, but you got to do. You want to see success, you got to follow Jesus, not your own way. Why? Because your own way is distracting you from God. Let's skip all the way down to verse 33. It says this, "Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Evil communications or an evil lifestyle, just any kind of lifestyle, an evil lifestyle corrupts good manners." Isn't that true? Evil habits corrupt what? People. Evil behavior corrupts people and makes them have some terrible habits. And verse 34 says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." He was talking about, he was writing to Christian people saying that they didn't have a knowledge of God. And they should have. He was writing to them. Jesus made a way for us. Let's follow him. Let's stop making excuses. Skip all the way down to verse 55. Verse 55. We're still in chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. Verse 55 says, "Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is the victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." How do you get victory? Only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. Verse 58 goes on to say, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, not distracted. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. Don't, verse 58, read it again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Distractions get people off course. Distractions, you know, are making us not steadfast and very movable. And what's happening? We're not having an abundance in verse 58, always abounding. The word abounding means to have excess, to have more than enough. When you're following Jesus, that's what you have, excess and more than enough. Amen. You do. You have excess and more than enough. So what? Let's just keep following Jesus. Do you have the Amplified Bible of verse 58? Yes, look at verse 58, and I'll read the Amplified. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. You're working for God. You're doing what you need to do. What should you be looking forward to? His goodness and his mercy in your life. Goodness and mercy. Amen. Finish up here in John chapter 6 with me, please. Everybody go to John 6. A lot of people were distracted in the Bible. They were. They did foolish things. Samson, a lot of people distracted. Distracted by bad things. Sometimes distracted by things that looked good and weren't good at all. They looked right, but they weren't right. And what happened? They suffered for it. They made a choice and they made a decision. Even in the Old Testament days, they were told to choose life. Why? Where the people they lived with were distracting them away from God, filling them with a lot of foolishness, idol worship, and you know, a lot of goofy things, stupid things. But anyway, verse 48, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Very clear. We just had communion. We understand it. He is the bread of life. He was talking about who he is, why he came. Even in verse 35, he said, I am the bread of life. Verse 48 said, I'm the bread of life. Verse 49, your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread that came down from heaven, that man may eat thereof and not die. We're not going to die. What? We're not going to die. My body's not going to stop working. Oh, your body might stop working, but you breathe out your last breath, you go to a much better place. You don't die. You don't go to hell. You go to heaven. He's talking about what? Why he came. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh, he's explaining it, which I will give for the life of the world. Who did Jesus die for? Died for everybody, not just for a few people. There's a teaching in some Protestant churches that he only wants to save a few people, and they're, of course, they're the ones, which is ridiculous, because right here he said, what? I died for the whole world, the whole world. Verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? We are not cannibals. Verse 53, Jesus explains, verse 53, verily, verily, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, we just did that. We took the bread and we took the cup. The bread of life is Jesus, and we took that and we ate Jesus today. You had the bread and you had the cup, okay? Symbolically, did you really eat his body? Of course not. Verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh indeed is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. Keep reading. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate manna and are dead. He that eats this bread shall live forever. ever. And you say, okay, I get it, I get it. But a lot of his disciples didn't get this. Verse 59, these things he taught in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Look at verse 60. We know Jesus had 12 disciples, and then we know later on he had 70 more disciples. He had a lot more than just 70. Verse 60, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this teaching, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can understand it? And Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at this. He said, does this offend you? And if you skip down to verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They were distracted by something Jesus said that they did not quite understand. They could have asked for clarification. They could have asked, Lord, what do you mean by this? And he would have explained it better to them. But they didn't listen for the explanation. They heard something where it was, they were distracted by what they heard, and they just walked away. Maybe that's you. Well, you know what? If that was something that happened to you in the past, listen, draw nigh to him again. Now that you understand this, or whatever it is that tripped you up before, draw nigh to him and really purpose in your heart that you're going to keep following him and let him get the weeds and the rocks and the stones out of your garden, and then you can be fruitful and you'll see 30, 60, and 100-fold. Get rid of the distractions, focus in on Jesus, and what? And follow him. Don't walk away. Why? There's no place to go. Let's pray. Put your Bibles down. Let's stop right here. Let's pray. Are you going to talk about this next week? No, we're finishing up today. Distractions. We need to overcome our distractions. We need to stop making excuses. We need to stop wasting time. We need to stop allowing ourselves to get our eyes off of Jesus. And truly, we need to run the race that's set before us looking to him, because he is the author and finisher of our faith. He's going to heal your marriage. He's going to heal your family. He's going to heal your body. He's going to put your life back together again, stronger than ever before, because you're going to be the one who fully walks with him in a powerful way. And you're going to see all these burdens lift off of you, because he is the gift giver. He is the miracle worker. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever is distracting you, whatever has been a misunderstanding in your life, whatever has been a source of division and strife, that's all going to end, and you're going to see unity like never before. All right, but listen, before we pray for that and these other needs that are in this room, if you never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, this is the first step. You take that step towards him, he'll take a million steps towards you. You draw closer to him, he draws closer to you. It's up to you. The truth is, Jesus died for the whole world, and it's whoever calls on him, they become part of the family. It's your choice. It's your choice. You can go your own way, or you can go his way. It's much, much better to go his way. And again, he never refuses anybody who calls out to him. Call out to him today. Say this prayer with me. Say this prayer with everybody in this room. Everybody, please repeat with me. Everybody say, Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. Say, I believe you died for my sins, and I believe you're alive from the dead. Say, Lord, live in me, work in my life. In Jesus' name, amen.